from many places in Akron, Ohio, and the greater Akron area. This is episode 216 of On the Tropes. On this week's episode, we're talking about the trope Lost World. As always, I'm your host, Nick. And today, I'm joined by a host with a cat.
Hector.
Yeah, but what's your name?
Eva.
A host with an Akron hat.
Sir.
A host who's wearing a shirt that I can't tell what it is, but it's a Superman. I believe that's what S stands for.
It actually stands for hope. It's my people's symbol for hope. And this is Samo.
And the last one.
And Kyle.
Samo, nice Superman reference.
Oh, thank you.
Nice Kryptonian culture reference.
I appreciate it. I was hoping somebody would pick it up.
So we're, almost 3 weeks into Shelter in Place? We're recording this a little bit earlier than it's going to be released. It is April 9th right now, so things have probably changed by the time this comes out. But anyways, here we are. You guys want to do a quick rundown of what you've been up to whilst sheltering in place? Eva, I'll send it to you first.
Because I got my mouth full, thanks.
Yep, that's what I do.
Appreciate you. I've been out of work for 3 weeks. I've accomplished none of the things that I thought I was going to accomplish right now. You know, turns out I'm just sleeping a lot and cooking a lot and watching a lot of old boxing on YouTube.
Nice. What about you, sir?
Well, I'm working on like a Lorenzo Lamas beard right now, trying to go for that renegade look. A lot of it's just kind of a gray check just to see how I'm doing. And other than that, I think the thing that struck me the most is like I had all these deadlines before and now it's just like I don't care about it. I can't even wrap my mind around like I got a couple book deadlines and stuff like that. So I'm kind of just picking and choosing whatever I feel like working on. It's just, you know, chaos reigns completely. Yeah.
Femo, what about you?
I just found out today that there's a sequel to Birdemic. So I need to track that down in a big bad way.
You're going to hang out with the family?
That's right. Just hanging out. yeah, that's trying to avoid the thought that Donald Trump is the literal Antichrist and these are the end times. Trying to avoid that with yesterday's last night in the greater Akron area, there was a crazy storm that I have never experienced anything like that before. Yeah, it's been crazy.
And Kyle, what about you?
Mostly just Animal Crossing, which kind of came out at the perfect time. I've put an unhealthy amount of time into it. That combined with just trying to entertain two little crazy girls that have no idea what's going on, but they're happy and think it's so great that we're home all the time. Yeah, pretty much just that. I started writing out a trailer that I want to make in our house. Just with the girls, like some cheesy, like B scary movie or something. And hopefully we'll get that made in the next few days. But besides that, yeah, whole lot of nothing. Actually doing work, but that's just because I can do it from my laptop. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Cool. What about you, Nick?
Had a kid.
Oh yeah.
Congrats.
We had a baby boy. His name is Noah. He was born on St. Patrick's Day and he was fussy all day today for some reason.
Oh no.
Yeah. But other than that, he's doing good. He's growing a lot. He's a big boy.
Big boy.
Yep.
So
I heard his toots are legendary.
Yeah, it's just been today. he's been fussy and gassy all day today.
His life's only gonna get worse.
Say again?
His life's only gonna get worse from here.
Yeah.
Did the St. Patrick's Day birth reawaken the Irishness in your dad?
Yeah, yeah. No, we thought about legally changing his name to O'Fulton.
Fitz Fulton.
Noel Fulton.
So yeah, that's what I've been up to. Just staying at home. I've burned a lot of my vacation to stay home the last few weeks. So I have no concept of, I don't even know how old he is. He's either 3.5 or 2.5 weeks. And I'm not sure because I don't know how long time is anymore.
Right.
So we're here to talk about, speaking of things that are lost and have become mysterious, the trope Lost World, not necessarily the Lost World Jurassic Park 2, but possibly,
it might as well be.
Yeah.
It might as well be.
It's
what
not
an underrated movie.
It's not called that on accident. It's not a great movie. It has a couple really great scenes in it, though.
It's better than the third movie.
Well, yeah.
I know that's not saying much, but...
Whose idea was this, or was this from the almighty trope generator?
We hit the button, yeah. Okay. It was a random trope button.
Okay. So, Eva, I'll send it to you first, then. What is The Lost World?
Well, you know, I think there's going to be a little bit of a debate about what counts and what doesn't.
I'm using a very loose definition.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the biggest part for me was that this is a place that is off the map. Some place that characters in the story didn't know they could go to before they got there.
Yeah, that's what I'm using a very like general trope, and I think classically it's kind of like the Ray Harryhausen type, where there's mysterious creatures and it's like a land lost to time, where people like stumble upon it for adventures and things like that. But I'm using a very loose definition for my list just because I came up with some ones that I wanted to talk about, and that's how I'm going to roll. Sir, how do you think that this trope is used?
I think that traditionally that's like has its roots in some utopian ideals, like Gulliver's Travels has a lot of Lost World elements, and then it got really popular in science fiction from like the Hollow Earth stories. This idea that there were hidden civilizations kind of tucked away underneath the earth and whatnot. And then of course, like Edgar Rice Burroughs, I think I've got a significant part of my list ended up actually being Burroughs stories, and that was a really popular thing in like the Sword and Sorcery and Sword and Planet kind of era. So usually it's like, it requires that there's a hidden civilization of some kind. Those are just usual tropes. However, tvtropes.org kind of expands it to say that man-made islands, just like creatures, like the Jurassic Park Lost World are actually a part of it.
Themo, if there was a big news item and it was that there is, we discovered a brand new Lost World with mysterious and dangerous beings. In your head, where do you think that is? Say they don't tell you. Where's the first place you're like, oh, it's got to be in this location?
Florida.
Florida Man.
Yes, it's Florida Man that discovers it.
Yeah, Florida Man discovers. Well, I don't want to step on my list, but either that or I think Joe Exotic was in Oklahoma. So maybe there.
I'm so curious as to how that was shoehorned in your list. And Kyle, say that same news item pops up without hearing where it is. It could be in Florida, could be in somewhere in the ocean.
Dinosaurs.
But a dude comes to your house, he's full safari gear, and he goes, "Kyle, they found the Lost World. I'm going. Come with me."
Is it going? Yes or no? Yeah, I'm going. Heck yeah, I'm going.
What are the three? He goes, "We're going in 5 minutes. What are the three items you grab?"
Camera, a Lunchable, and...
You talking bologna?
Maybe the pizza one. I don't know. The No Holds Barred DVD.
But that's in my house.
A DVD player.
No DVD player.
That's in my house. You're going to spend 8 minutes.
Also, he didn't specify the man. So you could be going with like Mike Pence or, you know.
Oh, yeah. Or Dwayne Johnson. So I don't know.
Right. I mean, it is pretty wide open.
Or it could be a dude who has a portable DVD player under his arm.
Yeah.
In which case,
I mostly just like this trope because it gives me an excuse to talk about dinosaurs for a little while.
Oh, we'll get into all kinds of mysterious beings. Should we get going? Should we start?
Yeah.
All right. Kyle, what is your number five?
My number five is probably the weirdest one, and I wasn't sure if it actually fits into this trope, but I'm doing the Nick thing and making it fit anyway. And I'm saying the commune, the Swedish commune from Midsummer, kind of has that mysterious off the map feel to it when they're there for a few days and they're like, it's always light out and stuff like that. And just the mysterious crap that happens there. I have that, like, I guess it's not a very glamorous example, but it is something that, I don't know, popped popped in my head of some place where I think their cell phones don't work there either, and it's scary. And that's my number five. What about you, Eva?
My number five is the planet Venus. There's a lot of stories like the beginning of the 20th century about taking an adventure to Venus, which we don't really talk about anymore. Now it's just all about Mars. And Venus was always described as being like very hot and very tropical, conveniently just like Africa. And I think that this was somewhat an effect of, you know, colonizing Africa made Africa more defined and less mysterious to a lot of writers. And so there wasn't really, to them, there wasn't any unexplored places in Africa anymore. So we had to make a new one, and that was on Venus. There's a whole series of Edgar Rice Burroughs stories on Venus. And the one that I wanted to mention was, it's not by Burroughs, it's a short story called Parasite Planet. I just like happened across it in a...
Didn't that win Best Picture this year at the Oscars?
No. And so Parasite Planet, I read in a collection about like adventure comic or adventure stories. And I think in the ninth configuration, there's a character who believes that he's on Venus, that he's an astronaut and he's on Venus, and that this is all like a projection. And the way that he describes Venus is very much like it's described in Parasite Planet. And in my head, that's not a coincidence. So who wants to go next? Is it who's going after me?
Probably Thema.
Okay, Thema, what's your number five?
My number five is Kong Island from the King Kong movies. I love that there are giant gorillas. I love that there are dinosaurs. I'm not so thrilled with the giant bugs that will eat me. But in general, I don't know, something about disproportionately large fauna is really appealing to me. I don't know. And flora, for that matter. Those trees are huge. So yeah, Kong Island.
Yeah, Kong's actually my number four. And I think it is, for me, the one that I've really seen the most. So it is the Peter Jackson one. And I know the movie's horrible and it's way too long, but the island, I like the island stuff. I thought it was really cool and well done. And the giant bugs are terrifying. They will always be terrifying.
The
scene in that movie specifically. Yeah, his whole head's like inside.
Yeah.
Oh. And then I've never seen Skull Island, but I saw a scene from that with a giant spider, and it looked crazy too. Man.
Yeah, I don't remember the giant spider. I'll be frank with everyone here. Maybe I shouldn't admit this, but all giant spider scenes to me are like Dead. Like, I've seen it done so many times that I just can't get excited about them, and I just instantly forget them.
This Every one was one. A spider the size of like the aliens in I can't even think of the movie now.
Independence Day.
No, the one with Tom Cruise.
War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. They're like huge ass spiders, but I don't know. It's crazy.
I hear what you mean, Thema. Like I think the King Kong like bug scene, I think that was that still works. Because they were like slugs and stuff, and like centipedes.
Yeah. They were like big enough that, you know, it's like you get bit by a giant tarantula, like that's the size of a Buick, like you're dead right there. But those things, that, you know, that's more personal, getting eaten by one of those.
Yeah, it's more like a dog attack.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Wasn't this supposed to be the original?
It was, and that's why he wanted to include it. At least that's the rumor I heard. Yeah. Sir, what was your number five?
So my number five is The Time Machine. And it's mostly I'm talking about the 1960 film based on H.G. Wells' novel. Definitely not talking about the 2002 remake.
I saw that in theaters, I think with you.
Bad. So yeah, starring Rod Taylor, Alan Young. It's just a great movie. It's like, it's got that Technicolor kind of like bright, almost painted look. And it's a really great kind of, I guess, riff on class in Victorian society. You've got the Morlocks below kind of powering the more advanced civilization of Eloy. So yeah, I mean, I think it's still really relevant. I think that especially right now. Any science fiction about class and kind of the future, post-apocalyptic, whatever, is, I guess, somewhat exciting. And yeah, it still holds up as just a much better film than a lot of movies that were based on those kind of old Victorian novels.
All right. My number five, I'm also going with a version of King Kong, but I'm going with King Kong versus Godzilla, which is the third of the Godzilla movies from 1962. And the plot of this is some advertisers find out that there's a big monster, which is King Kong, that they want to try to kidnap to use him for ads for, I think it's a pharmaceutical. So they kidnap King Kong, and he and Godzilla end up having, like, they duke it out a little bit, and they both wreak some havoc around the city. And what they decide is Godzilla, like, goes to some island. So their plan is to, they knock out King Kong using poisonous or like a noxious, some kind of sleeping gas. Once he's asleep, they tie a whole bunch of balloons to him and float him over to the island so that he and Godzilla can fight to the death. It's a fun movie. There's not nearly enough. Like, it takes them way too long to get to the fucking monkey, as we say when we talk about Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
And it's also notable for, I think, the most blackface I've ever seen in a movie, because they go to the island where King Kong is, and it's played by Japanese people in blackface, and it's just, it's so much. It's,
jeez.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. Anyways, so that's that movie. Kyle, what's your number four was?
My number four was King Kong, but I can swap it out for Land of the Lost, the 91 version, which is the one that we watched.
The TV show?
Yeah, the Nickelodeon TV show. I watched the intro to that show again today, and man, I remember like everything about it. And I remember that show being really cool. Basically, it's this family and they're driving, and the road opens up and they fall in, and then they're suddenly in a land where there are dinosaurs and like ape people, and there's other things going on, but it's really strange and super 90s. But yeah, it was a fun show. I think surprisingly the dinosaur effects were pretty good for the time and for being a TV show by Nickelodeon. Yeah.
Give me just the first line of the theme song if you remember it, because it's driving me nuts right now.
Same.
I just know that they repeat the "We're in the land of the lost." That's the only thing that I can remember.
That's the part that I remember.
I'll find the intro song though, but yeah. Eva, what would be your number four?
My number four is Lost Horizon, because Lost Horizon is also kind of a time-traveling kind of a movie, too. I guess, you know, other people can, you know, be relied on for, you know, recommending other, like, classic things like Casablanca or something like that. And, you know, if you were to ask me, like, you know, 1930s or 40s movie that's a classic that somebody should watch, I definitely say Lost Horizon. It's a fun one. Nobody really talks about it. Like, nobody our age seems to want to talk about it. They should.
It's Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition. Met the greatest earthquake ever known. High on the rapids, it struck their tiny raft and plunged them down 1,000 feet below.
You're talking about the original one.
Okay.
I watched that intro too. The special effects are incredible, because they're basically just filming a stream, and they like keyframed them on a raft on the stream, and it's really funny.
Oh, so Themo, what's your number four?
Let's see. For my number four, I'm going to go with this Lost Continent theory. Being Greek, I think I have to talk about a lost continent. I think we all know which one. And that will be Lemuria. You might be thinking, what's Lemuria? It's this theory about how they found lemur fossils on one side of the Indian Ocean and not the other side. So there had to have been a landmass between the two. And the funny thing to me is that it has like a huge following now, including like conspiracy theories and how this was like this super advanced civilization that is transdimensional and so on and so forth. But in reality, it's just that the person who came up with it wasn't aware of like continental drift at the time. So it's completely unfounded, and it's to me, I just like the fact that there's a lost continent named after lemurs. I think that's pretty cool. So Lemuria, my number four. Sir?
Well, nice pick there, Thema. Lemuria is also it's a popular thing in Robert E. Howard fiction. The writer comes, this is a chain of large islands in the ocean east of Thuria, and perhaps southwest of the Pictish Isles, more made-up stuff. It's pretty great. Anyhow, my number four is, I'm going to go with, from the Burroughs Encyclopedia. Edgar Rice Burroughs had like a whole string of lost worlds and like kind of sort of planet stuff. So there was like Venus, there was Martian stories, moon stories, and one of them is the Black Men of Mars. And he had like the Red Men of Mars and the Yellow Men, White Men, and all these like weird 1800s era kind of ideas about race, yet they were kind of like more progressive than his peers. So the Black Men of Mars and then the Black Men of Pellucidar, Earth's Hollow Earth, were all kind of depicted as being more noble than their counterparts. So they were always kind of given this like, for their time, very progressive kind of stance, which is just pretty interesting, especially considering his first story and his main one, John Carter of Mars, is about a Civil War Confederate veteran. Yeah. Edgar Rice Burroughs, complex dude. Nick, what is your number four?
My number four is Howl's Moving Castle. And it is the castle itself. When you go into it, there's a little knob by the door. And if you turn it, it will transport you to different parts of the world, or to magical parts of the world, I guess. So you're seeing it through the eyes of a girl who has a spell cast on her. And she finds out about that, and she goes from like the world that she grew, or just on the outskirts of like the town that she grew up in, and they pull a lever and they're like at some kingdom and another place that's like very dark and gloomy. So I just like how visually how that is done, where she's just pulling like a dial and it transports you to multiple lost worlds. Kyle, what is your number three?
My number three is, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My number three is Turok, Dinosaur Hunter. Ooh, I'm going to be completely honest.
The green blood? Is it green blood?
Yeah. Well, or you could change the color of it. But this game came out when I was 8 years old, I think. So I had no idea like what was really happening. I just knew that you were in a place where dinosaurs were. But I looked it up today and they were saying how your character actually is protecting this portal or something between the real like Earth and this lost land, and that's like where the game takes place, in that lost land where dinosaurs are and people. But yeah, that game I remember being really difficult, but really pretty cool. I don't remember any story at all, though, in it when playing it. But yeah, pretty cool game. That would be a series that I'd like to see come back.
Rebooted.
It was rebooted within the last 10 years, but I think the reboot was pretty bad. And then they released it on the Switch like within the last couple of years. And I've thought about getting it, but I kind of want a new game. But yeah, Eva, what would be your number three?
My number three is from 1935, and it's She. She, the film, takes place in, I think it's the Arctic. I don't think it's Antarctica. I think it's the North Pole. There are a lot of the Hollow Earth theories involve some kind of secret, like belly button-like passage to the other Earth through the North Pole or through the South Pole. Going back, I want to talk about the Lost Continent thing again. You know, we do the best with as much science as we have, like as much data as we have, and we kind of just draw conclusions from there. One of my favorite examples of this is there's a popular science article from the early 1900s about how there have to be, not just that there are canals on Mars, that these perfectly straight lines that we see on Mars are, you know, too perfectly straight to be natural, and so they must have been mechanically made, but that they must have been made by beavers, because there's no signs of human life on Mars. So what else would dig a canal but a beaver? Therefore, there are beavers on Mars.
Space beavers.
Exactly. That's a much different movie.
I guarantee you that's the name of a movie. Yeah.
Emma, what's your number three?
My number three, I'm going to go with a TV series that's near and dear to my heart, and that is Star Trek Voyager. The whole premise is that this ship of people get transported to an area of the galaxy that is completely, more or less, uncharted, the Delta Quadrant. So they're trying to find their way home, and everything they encounter is new. And the greatest Star Trek series, no. But is it, does it have a lot of great moments? Absolutely. And that's my number three, Voyager. Sir?
There's a graphic novel called Space Beaver.
There's a movie called Leave It to Space Beavers. Actually, no, it's a TV show. And then there's Disco Beaver from Outer Space, TV movie from 1979.
That might not be that bad. So my number three is the Dinotopia series of illustrated fantasy books by author and illustrator James Gurney. The first one was published in 1992, and they're like these really detailed stories about essentially a hidden island that these like geologists find, and it's an island where humans and dinosaurs live and work together in harmony. It was created by this guy who worked for National Geographic, and he had to do all of these like ancient cities and kind of almost like reimaginings of what they would look like when they like found the ruins. And that turned into him just kind of like starting this wacky series about all these people living on dinosaurs. And it's never, like, it hasn't remained in the culture. I think the last attempt at an adaptation was in 2005. Yeah, they're just great books. Like, they're really, it's really beautiful artwork. It's a Hugo Award winner, and just really worth kind of looking for. Nick, what is your number three?
I am going with another kaiju movie. And Kyle, am I stepping on your list at all? If I go
I
with
don't
a...
think so.
Okay, this was a childhood favorite of ours.
Oh, no, you're not. You're not.
Called Gamera versus Gairon from 1969. It was the fifth Gamera movie. And Gamera was the giant turtle guy. And Gairon is basically a very large anthropomorphic knife. And the movie is
with
not
the
shurikens just
on the side of his head.
Yeah. The movie's not just about them, though. It is about aliens who come across two boys from Earth. One is named Akio, played by Nobuhiro Kojima, and the other is Tom, played by Christopher Murphy. And they get kidnapped by aliens, or I don't know if they go, I can't remember if they go willingly or not, but they no, go
they,
to
they
a
just hop on the ship.
Yeah, they go to a planet that this is when Pluto was considered a planet. They I think they refer to it as the 10th planet, and they're like, oh, we've never heard of this. And the explanation for why they never knew about the planet was that it is on the exact opposite side of the sun as the Earth. So we can never see it because the sun is always in the way. And that's one thing I will always remember about that movie, just like that absurd explanation as to how this other planet...
Sound science.
Was missed.
I don't think I've eaten powdered donuts since then, because they're terrifying now to me.
Yeah. that's just a really fun, goofy movie. If the 10th planet being the exact polar opposite side of the Earth doesn't give it away.
Kyle, we watched the crap out of that movie
so many times,
and not any other Gamera movie.
Nope. That was the only one that I knew there even was. I wasn't aware it was a series.
Yeah.
Kyle, what's your number two?
My number two is just the game, pretty much. The entire game of No Man's Sky, which is basically this space exploration game. But it's when it first came out, and I don't know if it's changed since, but they have this like mathematical formula that creates the planets that people explore on. And I guess there are like 18 quintillion variations. So you're constantly like flying to different planets that no one has literally ever seen. And not only is the architecture on the planet completely randomized, but the creatures are too. So you'll never see like the same one when you go from planet to planet. And it's kind of a cool thing when you're exploring and collecting materials and trying to find like a place to live. Never knowing what you're going to see. I really liked it when it first came out, but apparently since there's been so many updates that have made it like a completely different game for the better. It sounds awesome. No Man's Sky is my number two. What about you, Eva?
My number two is by Robert E. Howard, and it's The Devil in Iron. Devil in Iron has Conan ends up on this little island, like in I think it's in a river or a lake, and at first appears to be an abandoned city, but then it turns out that there is like a group of people living down there, kind of a lost race kind of a situation. You know, ancient group of people have managed to make themselves immortal by like sleeping most of the time, and this is the appearance of the Black Lotus. And I thought of this before we hit Lost World because I happened to catch a Antiques Roadshow episode like a week or two ago with a lady who brought in her husband magic cards, and he had the complete set. He had the Black Lotus. It was like the second edition of it. It was worth some absurd amount of money. And when I worked at a college, I had a student who worked with me who didn't know where the Black Lotus was from. Like, you know, that had a literary background. I brought that book in for him, and he really dug it. So yeah.
Oh my God. There is a unlimited Black Lotus Light Edge Bend Magic the Gathering card on sale on eBay for $4,650. The next listing is for $6,000.
Yep.
There's another listing for $7,899.
Is it like a good card or just a rare one?
It's like free mana, but also not a lot of them. It's my understanding.
I hate when cards, and I know nothing because I don't really play card games, but when the really expensive ones aren't even worth having like in your deck, I feel like that probably happens occasionally, right?
Yeah, my understanding is this is the most powerful card you can have and also one of the rarest.
That's cool.
It sort of depends. If I remember Magic the Gathering right, it sort of depends on the situation. Like if you have it really early in the game, so it's zero and it adds 3 mana of any single color of your choice to your mana pool, and then it's discarded. So you can only use it once.
Nerd.
But if you use it early on in the game, you haven't had a chance to play that much mana anyway. That being said, I haven't played it in a really long time, and I'm much cooler now than I used to be. So
yeah, it's pretty nerdy. I will say, though, that I guess the one just sold at auction for $166,000, like the rarest first edition. Now,
the $9,000 one, I thought, okay, that's a little bit pricey. I'm going to go with that one being too expensive.
Yeah, that's intense.
I don't want to step on any toes here, but that seems a bit unruly.
Emma, what's your number two?
My number two is going to be the Robin Williams vehicle, Jumanji. I haven't seen the new Jumanjis, but when I was like in middle school, I used to love the Robin Williams movie. I used to watch it every summer. It was just fun and adventurous. And there's this, I don't know, it's something that kind of got wrapped up, but like this idea that there's this whole world within this board game. I loved it.
I feel like there's a scene when he describes what it's like there for a short time, and it sounds really terrifying.
Yeah, the one part where he's like, you hear something scream and then you hear the sound of eating and you don't know if you're next. Something to that extent. Yeah. Pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Were you the one who told me, and this blew my mind, were you the one who told me,
Ben Peltz's dad?
Yes.
same that, actor.
That completely changes that whole like, how to look at that, and that's brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah.
Sir, what's your number two?
My number two is The Savage Land from Marvel Comics. It's kind of their own lost world, like that they just throw all different kinds of stories into it. It's like a alien created climate controlled preserve, like tropical preserve hidden in Antarctica. And so they've thrown like any secret race, or like they have a Tarzan equivalent Kazar character created in the 60s that's where he's from. Interestingly enough, and I guess relevant to our times, he is a character who was raised by a tiger. So
a bit of tiger. That's badass.
Yeah. The saber-toothed tiger at that. And yeah, The Savage Land is just really fun. It pops up over and over again, and it's just I love it because it's like a catch-all that they just anytime they need somebody to get whisked away to a secret island, it's always The Savage Land. And it's just really fun. Nick, what is your number two?
My number two is a movie from last year from Brazil called Bacurau. And I'm only going to do like the beginning setup to it, because then it takes a couple twists and turns that I do not want to give away. But basically it's about this Brazilian city. It's kind of like a small rural town that's excluded from other places, so much so that they're actually like their water supply is cut off, and they have like a big water tanker that goes out and fills up with water to supply for the town. And one day one of the characters works at a school, and he's trying to show like on Google Maps or something where their town is to his students, and he searches for it and it doesn't show up, and he can't find it. He can find it on a regular map, but he can't find it anywhere online. Like they look online and it just doesn't show up at all anymore. It's like they weren't there. And then I think it's the next day, a bunch of horses run through the town, and they belong to somebody's farm, which is odd, like the family's horses are just roaming around. And somebody apparently shoots up their water tanker, so they're leaking water. It seems like something is going on. And then two mysterious people come, and it leads to things transpiring from there. But I like just the conceit of the guys looking for their town and they can't find it anymore. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, is there a real reason for this? Is it a metaphysical thing because like the matriarch of the town just died? Or, you know, are they even like, how real is any of this? And it goes places. It's a very, very fun movie.
How do you spell it?
Bacurau. It's a heavy movie, but I found it to be really entertaining. I think it's definitely worth checking out. It's very much like...
Did you say it was fun?
It has some fun bits. I won't go more into it. It's very much like a turn on a classic story that you've heard of, but I don't want to say what that is because it'll totally give away where it's going.
Friggin' do. Don't react.
I just, I'm picturing like all of us watching it and hearing, like knowing that you said it was fun, but it being like this really,
oh, lots of
messed up movie.
Like an Aronofsky. Like
no, I guess it's fun.
Fun no, like the lobster's fun or something.
It's fun
like,
in the same way. I described Snowpiercer as being fun to someone recently, and they're like, what is wrong with you? Snowpiercer is not fun. And I'm like, I think it's a blast. It's got some heavy shit in it, but it's fun too. Right?
I know what babies taste like.
Yeah.
Like people eat babies, but there's also like some great action. I don't know.
The school scene was fun.
Yeah, the school scene was awesome.
Kyle, what is
great movie? Very fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I think this one
very ominous. Yeah. I mean, you know, look at our times.
What do you want? Yeah, Bacurau, I mean it's not a laugh riot, but it's worth watching. I think it's an enjoyable movie. Kyle, what is your number one?
My number one, and it's the only reason it's my number one is because it's the first thing that I thought of when you sent us this trope, and it's just Insectopia from Ants. this kind of mythical place that is everyone, like, not too many people know about it, but there's like a myth of it, its existence, and only like the drunks and the bar know of it, and apparently only Christopher Walken knows about it too. But yeah, just they're going on a journey to find it, and when they finally get there, it's pretty much just as amazing as they imagined it being, even though it's really just a trash can. I really like Ants. I think it's been a while since I've seen it, but I also remember it being like a movie we probably shouldn't have seen as young as we were, with like the war scene with the termites and stuff like that. And there's a lot of like really dark stuff in that movie too. But yeah, Insectopia is my number one. Evo'd beer, number one.
My number one, I also went with the first Lost World I thought of, and that was Atlantis. And my favorite Atlantis story is Call of Atlantis. And my favorite one of the Call stories is The Cat and the Skull. And that's where Thulsa Doom actually comes from. Thelma, what's your number one?
Real quick, Thulsa Doom, greatest portrayal of him, probably. The greatest portrayal of him is probably James Earl Jones.
Well, yeah, even though that has very little, he's actually like named Thulsa Doom, but actually a different...
Totally different. It's Conan character, really.
Different Conan character, but
are you saying Salsa Dune?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, that sounds delicious. I could go for some Salsa Dune right now.
What do you think is in a Salsa Dune? Is it like a, is it a spicy, or is it a pineapple, a peach based?
Mostly sand.
Yeah, I was going to say it's very sandy. I don't know probably if they grade it, but.
Alligator meat.
Course. Yeah.
Demo, what is your number one?
My number one is a radio play that was filmed called Alien Voices, The Lost World, based on Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's The Lost World. And it's called Alien Voices because it had a bunch of Star Trek character actors, including Leonard Nimoy, Alan Shimerman, the guy who played Quark, guy who played Neelix, a bunch of Star Trek aliens doing a radio play. But it was cool because you got to see all the Foley work too, because it was video recorded. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, Alien Voices, The Lost World. It's probably available on YouTube. Sir, how about you?
Well, I have a rare runner-up in a novella that is available right now on Amazon called The Deep by Rivers Solomon. I'll just read the synopsis. It's one of NPR's best books of 2019. I'm going to start reading it probably this weekend. And the synopsis, the water-breathing descendants of African slave women tossed overboard have built their own underwater society and must reclaim the memories of their past to shape their future. So yeah, that's The Deep by Rivers Solomon. You can pick it up for $10. And my number one pick is Dana White's UFC Fight Island. I don't know if people have heard of this yet. However,
this sounds like a reality show that would be really popular.
Yeah. Well, there's been all these like athletic events obviously postponed, and Dana White tried to continue holding events. As of yesterday, he was trying to hold the next UFC event on a reservation, which is just terrible. There's so many historical implications.
And Native American reservation?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yes. Let's spread disease to more Native American people. That's a good look.
Well, I saw somebody posting about how the KBO, like Korean baseball, is like gearing to start up again. And somebody had said, like, why doesn't Major League Baseball just play there? And I'm like, first of all, they have their own fucking baseball. And second of all, like, haven't we like colonialized enough places and brought disease there that didn't have, I mean, not that they don't have that disease, but they certainly have it under control. They don't need a bunch of people from fucking New York.
It's not to jump in, because this is kind of infuriating, because it's like they get to do that because of how well they took how seriously they took it and took care of it. Like that's why they can do that. We still have work to do.
They also like can't even do it yet.
Weren't they saying that they're trying to get the MLB season started in May or something?
They said that. They said, I heard this, I'm going to quote another podcast. This was Jeff Cannata on another podcast saying that in reference to Mulan getting pushed back, and they said they're planning on opening it. I think the new release date is like July or something like that. And he said that's like saying what the price of a candy bar is going to be on the moon. We could say that when we get candy on the moon, once we've colonized it, it's going to be $7 a bar. But let's be honest, who fucking knows?
Right.
I thought like I saw a thing on ESPN yesterday or the day before. It was like one of the things in the crawl, so I didn't see all of it. They were actually going to say that because there's not going to be any spectators at these baseball games, they were just going to have all of the teams playing in one stadium.
They floated that idea. I think it was pretty quickly not entirely debunked because I think they want to leave as many options open as available, but it was not well received.
Those rooms would be disgusting.
Yeah, because there's 30 teams. Each team has at least 25 guys, plus all the guys who you get as replacements for injuries. You have, you know, a manager for each team. You have multiple coaches for each team. And then
equipment.
Yeah, they're umpires. There's just so many people that it would be a horrible idea, and all those people would need to be completely locked down for months at a time. So I saw a bunch of comments from players' wives that are just like, absolutely not. Like, I'm not, like, they're not going to be away from our children for that long playing baseball when you could just wait.
Exactly. And that's kind of what ended up happening with the UFC event that they were trying to do with the reservation was Disney and ESPN came in and were just like, you're not doing this. So Dana White is moving forward, though, with a scheme. He has apparently purchased a private island. He's building infrastructure now, supposedly, so that he can hold international fighting events in international waters. He's going to fly fighters in and out of it with a private jet, have a team of doctors and all this other nutty stuff that he's hoping to get done by the end of the summer. And it is probably the most insane thing I've ever heard. Like, we really have
just survived. And you know, I mean, like, there is a, I'm sorry to jump in, sir, but I just got super excited because even though I'm not a UFC fan, but he's making Street Fighter a reality.
Yeah. This can't go wrong in any way. I mean,
I really hope he has camera people following every step of the way, because it's going to make an incredible
documentary. Netflix documentary is going to be
here's my theory.
Infected with COVID.
Yeah. My theory is somebody already has a private fighting island, and somebody called Dana White and said, hey, you can use my private fighting island. I already got everything set up. We're just going to have to act like we just built it just now.
Kumate.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's just, there's so much. I mean, so they're building the infrastructure right now. So how many workers are being, right? It's bad on either end. If they already had a private island set up for underground unsanctioned fighting events, Jesus Christ. that still means that they need all these workers to go out there and build a cage, build all this stuff, which is in itself a huge risk right now. Mm-hmm. And as Nick said, they're, you know, the quarantine that has to happen on either end. You've got Dana saying, oh, they're going to be quarantined for 14 days. Let's be honest. You probably need like 60 on either end to actually be sure, because we don't know anything about this thing. So it's just, we're headed towards Soylent Green. This is like one of the most post-apocalyptic, muddy, dystopian things I think that's happened, is this private fight island.
I'm not a colonialist by any means, but the army should take over that island. We should go to war to take that island. I won't say that often on this show, but they should take over that island.
That's the thing. Somebody, like, yeah, okay, it's a private island, meaning it's somebody owns the property, but it's not a sovereign nation. It has to belong to somebody. So
that's the thing. Will Dana White be president of this island in 5 years?
Does the flag have fringe around it?
I'm saying he shouldn't be, because we should take it over. There's got to be oil under that island.
Nick, what's your number one?
Well, number one, I've been kind of gradually working my way through some things this year. I mean, this is not pandemic specific. This is just like my plan for 2020 was to try to catch up with some things that I've been putting off.
Damn that monkey's paw.
Yep. Sorry, guys. So one of those things is Avatar The Last Airbender. And it's really good. I think M. Night Shyamalan has done some of his... Nah, I'm kidding. Sir shaking his head. No, so I'm through season one. In the last two episodes of the first season, there's a northern waterbending tribe, and they're at war with the firebending tribe. And Aang, who is the avatar, who is the last airbender, who is able to, in theory, do bend all of air. The bend air, fire, water, and earth,
and in
order and heart, and he can bend Captain Planet. For their war, he needs to cross into the spirit world so that he can ask the moon and ocean spirits for help. So the spirit world is my number one, because when he gets there, he meets I think it's the ghost or the spirit of a former airbender, and he sends him on a mission to see a character named I think his name is Ko, but he's also called the Face Stealer, and the Face Stealer looks like a giant scorpion, and the first time we see him, I think he has a clown's face, and later like his face changes, I'm presuming from the things of faces he's stolen. And at one point, he just becomes the face. He has the face of a mandrill, like those monkeys. And it's super creepy. So the spirit world is a messed up place. That is my number one. How was Tiger King supposed to be shoehorned into this episode?
That was just a joke.
Oh, all right.
But I will say that it is like they're living in their own little horrifying realm.
The only problem is it wasn't lost. In fact, lots of people knew about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you cool cats and kittens?
I saw a tweet from a guy from Oklahoma who was watching it and said that he didn't realize it was from Oklahoma at first. And as he was watching, he was like, man, this really reminds me of my home state. And then there we go. Apparently it's weird out there.
You probably saw those people at Walmart.
You mean the Walmart where they were getting expired meat?
Yeah.
Using that expired meat
to feed staff?
To feed the staff, to feed the tigers, and then to make pizza.
To make their own pizza shop. I like how the show has plot lines like that, that they're like, we don't even have time for this.
Right.
So much
there's too much shit going on. My one gripe about the show, or my main gripe about the show anyway, is that they do that to things that I think merit a lot more discussion, in particular.
Like the skeleton in the car?
No, I was going to go with what is his name? Is his name Tyler?
Trevor.
Was his name Trevor? I can't remember. But yes, like there's a lot.
Camera, you mean?
The one who what?
The one who committed suicide on camera.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I guess.
Spoiler alert for the episode that we already would have aired by now.
Yeah, but people may have waited on that. But either way, there's a lot that they could have kind of delved into with regards to him that they were just like, anyways, that happened.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot. Like, of course, they were probably making crystal meth on that in the zoo. Sure.
That's part of what I'm alluding to.
The fact that the guy that Scarface is based on, Tony Montana, a man who on this film describes cutting up a body with a circular saw, that guy is the most relatable.
I said the exact same thing. Like,
not only a body, wasn't it like a DEA informant?
Yeah,
the FBI informant. Yeah,
guy is like a completely reasonable person in this documentary. He's like,
don't they even show? They don't show that guy after like episode two or three,
right?
He's too level-headed.
Is
the only voice of reason.
Is it a documentary or is it a TV show? I keep hearing mixed things about
documentary.
It.
It's a documentary.
Okay.
It will become a TV show, apparently. Like, I guess it's already in the works to do another Netflix miniseries.
Oh, I heard that he wants David Spade to play him.
Yeah, he said that, I guess,
yeah.
A long time ago.
He can want a lot of shit.
I think that Sam Rockwell would do an amazing job.
I'm pulling for Ed Norton.
Norton's, like, his comedy chops are pretty hit or miss. It depends on what angle they want to take it. If they want to
I think they if they want to go with, like, the kind of... I mean, Ed Norton's got the rage He's got the complexity. Yeah. He's got the huge ego.
Yeah, like Death to Smoochie.
Mm-hmm.
I need to rewatch that. I loved that movie.
Anyways, I listened to your guys' episode on that. I don't know if that's been released yet, or by the time this comes out, it'll have been released. You guys didn't talk about what I thought to be the most horrifying thing from that show.
The alligator arson?
No. No.
You mean arson is the alligator recording studio?
No, it was when Howard sang to Carol.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and even that, who is Howard? He's the one character that never got a, like, you never find out what his background is.
Nope.
You don't know where he came from.
He's the least sympathetic character in the entire show.
I think whoever he is very damaged from a prior relationship and was walked out on, and that's why he is the way he is. That's just my thought.
He's, yeah.
He seemed like a pretty smarmy capitalist, though. Like, he looked like the guy who tries to take away your dad's rec center that where all the kids roller skate in the 80s.
Totally. Totally. It's like his kid's going to get the ski resort. You know, the other thing, just to what Nick was saying, like the whole thing about, like, something else I would have loved for them to dissect more is that there's this clear, like, cult mentality for all these places. And I would have loved a 2-hour documentary just on that. Like, who are these people and what transpired that they got wrapped up in this, you know, so my arms ripped off and I'm going back in a week.
And more than one person in that film said, especially specifically for Joe Exotic, I met with him once and I never went home.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to mention Joe Exotic says that Doc Antle and himself are running tiger cults out of his own mouth. Mm-hmm. Like, he responds to the criticism that he's running a cult by saying how proud he is that he's running a cult.
It's not just him. I mean, there was one of these, like, less than 20 miles away from here.
Yeah.
And it almost exactly the same thing.
Zanesville?
No, there was, I'm talking about the cult aspect one. That dude seemed to be kind of a lone dude. But no, there was one not far from here that it's the same. He had mostly bears. I think he did have a tiger, but bears were his thing. And it was the same thing. He had a bunch of, like, 20-year-old guys.
Bear King?
Oh, no.
I bet that is also the name of
Grizzly Man movie. Too.
Grizzly, that's more than one movie.
Grizzly Man the Reimagining.
Oh, man. Oh, jeez.
Directed by... That's the... I can't.
All right. Well, that was our episode. I don't know. You guys have any health advice?
Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Please take quarantining and social distancing very seriously. Ohio is flattening the curve in a big bad way. Keep it up. Don't give up now. Thank you.
If this is only the first through third episode you've listened to, you may not realize that the sound quality of this episode is not what it typically is. We're doing this through Zoom because we're distancing ourselves from one another. We're being good. And yeah, I wash my hands a lot. I saw somebody on Twitter said, I could sand a chair with the backs of my hands right now.
Yeah.
I just looked down and I realized that I have this mole on the back of my hand that looks lighter than it normally does. Am I washing it off?
it's just chocolate.
My health advice is to vote for policies and resource allocation, not personalities.
Yep. I voted today.
Yes, if you're in Ohio, get your absentee ballot. You can still vote for Bernie Sanders because we need those delegates at the DNC.
Yeah, I voted today. It probably won't help a lot, but felt like it could help. It's not going to hurt, and it made me feel good. It's all I have. That's all I have.
Eva, where's your new facial hair?
Hmm?
Where's your new facial hair?
Oh, I took care of it before anybody had to look at me on camera.
Any parting words of wisdom? I
didn't get to compliment your stash demo.
I hate it. I but in order to wear the...
I see your stash is as big as mine.
You're the N95.
Emil, yeah. You look like a young Don Rideout.
I don't know who that is, but I'm going to Google him right now. How do you spell it?
Here, I got you, Demo.
Don Ride How.
No.
Whoa. Ride
Out.
Yeah, I will probably need to shave when I go back to work, which I'm not.
I like your Van Dyke. That's I know you don't have a Van Dyke.
No. Yeah, I don't know what this is called. It's just
it's a beard.
Yeah. But this took me so long.
Oh, wait, does I think Kyle might have a Van Dyke. I love those. The musketeer look. Green Arrow look.
Lisa hates it, but I told her I'm not shaving it until this quarantine's over. So
any parting words of wisdom from you, Eva?
Not really. No, this is the most talking I've had to do in like 2 weeks, it feels like.
I know. I had to pick up my N95 from a coworker. So he just was going to leave it outside his house, and we were going to pick it up, but he and his wife and their baby were out for a walk. So we like got there as they were walking in. So we talked from like opposite ends of their driveway. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I talked to anyone other than like my nuclear family in person in so long.
Did you forget what to do with your hands?
No, I didn't. I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. I can't believe I used to be able to do this all of the time.
I forgot how to drive, kind of. Like, I went like a week without going anywhere, and then I went last week to put gas in my car and just make sure that my car wasn't atrophying, and I was like hitting the brakes too hard.
Every time I've had to get in my car, it makes like a weird noise, I feel like, when you first start, like when I'm pulling out of my driveway, yep. It's like...
Yep.
I think Don... I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but this guy might be my spirit animal because he's like strong but fat at the same time.
Oh yeah,
I love it.
Oh yeah, wow. He's probably one of the most legendary strongmen, of our times.
Speaking of legendary strongmen, The Big Show has a show on Netflix.
You didn't go with TBS.
I don't know. It's just called The Big Show. It's weird.
I'll check it out.
It's like a sitcom starring The Big Show.
That's really strange.
What are you guys saying? Who is, what is The Big Show the name of a person or a game?
He's the giant.
Cop who's now a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
I think, was it WCW was on TBS, and then when he got fired from there, went over to WWE. That's why he went with The Big Show, so it's TBS.
He was the giant, wasn't he? He was just like the giant Paul White or something like that.
That sounds familiar. I don't remember specifically, but yeah, that sounds. Yeah, he got the Big Show.
Oh wow, yeah, I'm on Netflix now. It's nice. Well,
it's got a Steve Urkel too.
I don't know if I can. Wow, this is insane. Our next jar pick was
No Holds Barred.
Oh,
are you gonna try any like innovative joint watch things to do it?
Is Netflix?
Wait, is it on Discord?
Discord's fun.
Are you talking about watching it together
and do like a live stream? You mean?
Yeah, because we got. I don't know how to do it exactly. Yet. Yeah,
I was going to say how legal that is either, unless you just sync it up.
Yeah, we talked about trying to do some like joint watches.
Has anyone tried that Netflix app? Help.
The only thing about that is, I think you have to watch it on your laptop.
Oh, really? They don't have a TV.
You can't really watch it on your like Roku, I guess.
That's weird. No. It sounds like a cool idea, but I've never looked into it.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it.
And then we also have TCM Film Festival coming up. So TCM's Film Festival is going to be all free for anybody who has TCM. So that might be another thing, listeners, that we're on Twitter tweeting about. And because like, there's a couple of good ones. Like they have Mad Love coming on and Network. Like a couple of things that we've talked about a lot on the show. They have a Casablanca, So listeners, if you have any ideas about how you want to connect or ways you want to watch things with us.
Yeah, we've been told about Discord. My friends, I think, are like trying to do a poker game right now on Discord, but obviously I'm doing this. So I still haven't actually logged into it. But yeah, we're trying to find, we're doing this. This is new. So we're down to learn new stuff. We've got all the time in the world.
Yeah, I don't really know much about Discord, but it's a good place to create like a community or whatever, mm-hmm. Right? We don't have a Reddit subreddit, do we?
Nah.
No.
Kind of a cool thing. I don't really know much about Reddit, but I feel like beyond the trope people that go to TV tropes are probably very similar to the people that go to Reddit.
Yeah, we've got the Facebook page.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do we have any mail?
I don't think so, because you guys hit up.
Yeah, we got the mail.
Yeah, you guys hit up the mail in the last episode. So let me see. I think we're all caught up.
Did I miss an episode?
No, no. Sir and Eva did a couple.
Oh, okay.
Tiger King.
Like, did I miss my first episode?
So, yes. Actually, I missed my first episode.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That wasn't the first episode that Nick was on.
It's a brave new world out there. Mm-hmm. These are wild times we live in. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I guess that's it. Stay safe. Whatever. You know where to. These people know where to find us. We're not going to waste your time anymore.
It's everything on the tropes. Anything you like, just put that on the tropes and see if it comes out.
Yeah.
Just see what happens.
It's year 2020. You should know how to do this.
I feel like we're kind of close to a mini milestone on Facebook. Like 600 something followers, likes, whatever they are.
Yeah, if you...
I feel like the number's like close to a very round number.
Yeah, if you don't follow us on Facebook, you can do that. Twitter, stuff at Redbubble, stuff at Patreon, stuff at tvtropes.org.
Instagram now.
Insta.
We're on the gram.
We're doing our grams. Anyway, I've been your host, Nick.
I've been Sir.
Eva.
I'm out.
And Kyle.
Okay. I'm going to stop recording.